Hype Network presents the frightening, alarming, real-life tales show. This show brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, and may cover topics that may disturb you. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these tales, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your podcast now. The frightening, alarming, real-life tales show firmly sides in evidence-based information, self-fact-checking, and credible news sources. Be vigilant for fake news and disinformation, and always question sources. We want to emphasize learning about the horrors of the past so that we are not doomed to repeat it in the future. We encourage you to exercise your right as a citizen of your country, hold your leaders accountable for injustices that your society faces, and vote for leaders that have a good track record, experience, and advocacies that you believe in. You are never too young to participate in national discourse. Educate yourself on the issues of your country and become a voice in your social circles, art, and activities. Your voice matters because when one person stands, you inspire others to stand up as well. Remember when I said that there will be a part two? Remember that, Nins?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is it.
Ooh.
This episode is all about unsolved mysteries.
This is the frightening, alarming Real Life Tales Show.
The show where we talk about real life scariest stories. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Ninya. Tell me, why do you seem so scared?
909 lying down dead. One third of them were children.
She would swoop down and drain the blood of the infant.
Everyone in London knows that this place is one of the most haunted places.
It's haunted as fuck.
This place is haunted as fuck. God.
So sit back, relax, and try to go crazy with fright.
Yes, that is right. Welcome to another episode of the Frightening, Alarming Real Life Tales Show. It's been a while. I kind of miss saying these things. Because remember how we had the hiatus, the disappearance? But now we're back. We are super, super duper back. And we are nearing the season finale. Are you excited for that, Nins?
Yeah. Because like season finale usually are amazing, and then like it's a sign that shits is gonna start.
I have to record stuff for shits.
And then like we all know, like a lot of people love shits.
Anyway, speaking of unsolved mysteries, mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask mm-hmm. Nins, have you read those books when you were a kid? You know, like Nancy Drew, Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah. In our old school, I remember Nancy Drew and you know, the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys, yeah.
At some point, like it was like the rave of everyone to like be the first person to read. Like,
mm-hmm.
Cause like they would add new books every few weeks or so. So like it's the rave, and like, oh, you get to be the first one to read these books. And then like everyone else was like reading those. And then like for me at that time, I was like reading Magic
Mike?
Magic Treehouse. Oh. And then, like, Magic Treehouse. Oh, my God. No, Magic Treehouse. Magic Treehouse is this kid's book. They time travel and shit. And then, like, oh, history and, oh, like, this and that. Oh, this is how you do things. Which is, like, very interesting for me. There's, like, movies and stuff that, like, I would usually like to watch. They've been recreating Nancy Drew, like, more than a few times. Where, like, all of them are pretty okay.
So you never got into the books?
No. The book itself, I think I've read like a few.
I see.
But like I wasn't like super into like the books ng Nancy Drew. I was like super into the movies.
Oh, the movies. Mm-hmm. The one that starred Emma Roberts?
Yeah, I think so.
That one?
I think so.
Yeah. That was my first... No, actually, that's a lie. I got into Nancy Drew way before the movie. I read it back in my elementary days. And, you know, like, I just kept reading and reading and reading until the movies came out.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh my God, yeah, the movies. And then I watched it. I think there was only one movie or two. I don't remember.
There's three different, like, versions of, like, Nancy Drew herself.
I only remember the Emma Roberts one.
I said, because I know, I think there's three, because I know I've watched two. I just don't remember, like, the actress and the story. Because those are, like, years and years ago. Because it's been, like, so long since they've made or, like, remake the movie.
I need people to modernize the story. Come on. If there's one thing that should be, you know, remade, you know how Hollywood is like,
oh, they're doing Pinocchio now. All of these now.
Remakes. Ugh, Pinocchio.
Little Mermaid is coming up soon.
Well, I'm excited for that as well. Too. But, you know, I just want Nancy Drew. I want Nancy Drew. I mean, the Hardy Boys, I never got into the Hardy Boys. Same. I guess you could say that I was gay from because I was into Nancy Drew more than the Hardy Boys. But yeah, there was also this other book called Encyclopedia Brown, and I read that too.
I've never heard of that one.
You don't know Encyclopedia Brown? Oh my God, you're missing out.
I don't think I have.
So it's these short stories, right? And then instead of Encyclopedia Brown, like, figuring out what happened to the mystery, you have to figure it out based off of this short story that you read.
Wait, so like...
And then, uh-huh.
So like, there's a story that you're gonna read, and then you're gonna figure out through the story? Or, so the story doesn't like, gives it to you straight up, basically?
Yeah, no.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
so you have to figure it out yourself. So basically, I mean, the story is told in the eyes of Encyclopedia Brown, right? But Encyclopedia Brown solves the case, but he solves it at the end of the book. So during the short story that you read, you have to guess what happened and then refer to the end of the book to see if you got it right.
Okay. And then is there like an explanation on like how he got it and so on? Okay, that's fun.
It's basically like a play on like the Sherlock Holmes books. Mm-mm. But instead of like Sherlock Holmes being, you know, arrogant and like figuring it out himself.
Yeah.
You have to do it yourself.
Okay.
And then like the process is explained at the end of the book or something like that. I also got into Sherlock Holmes. Did you get into Sherlock Holmes?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think like at some point everyone has or did get into Sherlock.
Are we talking about the TV show, the modern BBC TV show, or... are we talking about the actual book?
Okay, with regards to the show, there's three different Sherlock shows. I think the one that you're talking about is the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are like from like different networks and whatever. For like those that really caught up. That's the Benedict
Cumberbatch. Oh, the one with Lucy Liu, that one. Elementary.
Yeah. Elementary. I think that's the name.
Yeah.
But yes, books and the TV show, yes. I was in Big Bad Wolf a couple of years ago, and then, like, I was with Kevin and C. Honeybell. We were, like, hanging out, and then, like, they had, like, a set of the books. I'm like, I want. Because, like, it's a set.
I do not condone things, but what's the word? Yar. I did that to some of the Sherlock Holmes books, and I read that. I read that when I was young, and just it's so funny how like Sherlock like figures things out.
Oh yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, like how did he notice that? I would have never noticed that.
You can actually read Sherlock Holmes now, like for free. Like there's an app. I think it's called Sherlock Holmes. That like you can read like if not all, at least most of his books for free. Because I have one na same app where it's for H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I have that for H.P. Lovecraft, but there's also a version of it for Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, where you can read his books.
There's also especially like during the old time radio things. Remember how I had an episode where I just listened to a lot of like old time radio?
Mm-mm.
A lot of those stories actually are like, there's like Sherlock Holmes. There's like a lot of like murder mysteries. And I just find that interesting. And I think that's why
we
I chose this episode as the topic. As like the inspiration for our stories, it's unsolved mysteries because it's just up right up my alley, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll be taking a break, and when we come back, I will be sharing the part two of the story that I told like 2 episodes ago. And you will find out why it's under unsolved mysteries. We will be right back. Before we get back to the episode, you should check out this Pipe Network show.
Mahilig ka ba sa usapang throwback about your favorite TV shows, movies, and even your favorite life memories? I'm Jimpy and I invite you every Saturday to get your glass of wine and join me and my friends as we rewind to the past with a sip of wine only on Rewind, a Throwback Podcast. Available on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. See you there!
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Frightening, Alarming Real Life Tale Show. So I will start. Shut up, alarm. I will start my story. I felt the vibration and then I immediately sprung into action. That's yours. Right. Okay, Nins, I want to ask you, do you remember what happened last week? Do you remember the story?
A little bit, yeah. Because it's been a few weeks. So, you know.
What can you remember?
Serial killer.
Serial killer? No.
Was it not? I don't remember then if that's the
bomb
case.
Caller.
Oh, the bomb caller. I remember now. I remember, I immediately remember the video. And I'm like, I kind of hate the fact that like the video is the thing that I remember immediately.
I mean, who wouldn't remember it?
Like, God.
Yeah, so do you remember what happened? Yeah, Brian Wells. Thank you so much, Tirso. He's in chat right now. We're recording, by the way.
I don't remember where you stopped. Yeah. When you were, I don't remember where you stopped.
Okay, so refreshing. I'm glad you don't remember, because I'm going to be recapping the story. So basically, last time, we left at Deal Armstrong. This woman was convicted to be the mastermind behind the bomb caller plot, the wild goose chase. That she sent all of these FBI agents, these police investigators everywhere, right? But why are we still here? You know, you would have thought, like, isn't the case finished? Like, Deal Armstrong was convicted as, you know, like she gave her statement in front of the police, and the police was like, okay, that is enough. You are under arrest for the murder of Brian Wells, right? But why are we still here? Well, there's actually more to it than meets the eye. So we'll start the story 4 years after the incident. And basically, all of this information was uncovered in the span of that 4 years. Like, all found during police investigations, during other trials. Like, not other trials, but like, trials that are happening now, because like 4 years into the death, 4 years after the incident, that's when the trial started, and all of these information is coming up, it's springing up, and people are invested, people are watching, they're tuned in to what's happening, because like this,
they want to know
this. Yeah, they want to know. It's like, hey, who would have thought to do like a bomb caller thing? You know, so it seems that Brian Wells, according to all the information that came out, was actually in on the plot.
Oh, what?
So they, yeah, yes, yes. Apparently, he was also in on the plot. And it seems that all of these people, Rothstein, Brian Wells, Deal Armstrong, and other people, they needed the money. So they came up with this plan. And so it was just that Deal Armstrong was the mastermind behind everything. But during the actual time to execute the plan, Brian Wells was bamboozled by everybody else. And it turns out that the bomb caller was not fake, but was actually real, and it went off.
Oh.
So Ken Barnes, a drug dealer, who was also in on the plot, the one that I said, the others that were in on the plot, he was also in on the plot. He was put on trial and he said all these things that Neil Armstrong was the mastermind and everything.
Mm-mm.
And throughout the trial, Neil Armstrong would whisper to her attorney and, you know, like for consultation. Mm-mm. And she would often yell out in passion that he was lying, that he was a liar and stuff like that. Now, fast forward to the eighth day of the trial, and Neil Armstrong finally got the chance to tell her version of the story. And while she was on stand, she would often yell and cry. And according to her, she emphasized that she's never met Brian Wells, nor has she ever worked with him. Mm-mm. She only found out that he died on the news when she saw what happened. However, the jury did not buy it. And so they all ruled her guilty, and she was served life sentence. So, end of story.
Is she still, right? Like, in, I don't know?
Yeah, life sentence. Okay. I think this happened, like, early 2000s, so I think she would still be alive.
Yeah.
So, you would think it's the end of the story.
Like, yeah. Like, okay, so she was convicted. Trialed and, you know, prisoned.
Yeah. Yeah, imprisoned and all that, you know, like, that's it. But, no. According to a retired FBI criminal investigator, Jim Fisher, this whole thing seemed sus.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked more than just like a robbery, according to him. I mean, who would do you get where he's coming from? Like,
yeah.
Who would go through all that trouble just to steal money?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of extra steps.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing seemed a little too complex.
Mm-mm.
Almost like somebody was directing a film or something.
Oh.
According to Jim Fisher, he thinks that somebody just wanted to make a puzzle that would be talked about for many years to come. The whole robbery thing was just a ruse. He further adds that this whole thing does not sound like it came from Neil Armstrong, but rather it actually came from Bill Rothstein. He thinks that he planned all of this. From the very beginning, Rothstein played with the investigators. He sent them on a wild goose chase, asking them to like find all the dead bodies. Like he put Mm-mm. in like all these red herrings. Also blamed Neil Armstrong for the murder, for the bomb collar thing. Because remember how there was like the initial investigation was that there was this murder that the police investigators like checked out, and then it turned out there was a connection between Brian Wells' death and also that murder, and somehow Neil Armstrong was in it, right?
Mm-mm.
Jim Fisher thinks that Rothstein planned all of this out, like he would send them on a wild goose chase, point fingers at Neil Armstrong. And get her convicted. Like, it also involved Brian Wells as
throwing everyone under the bus.
Yeah, he's throwing everybody under the bus. Because he believed that if you didn't point fingers, somebody else that was like, that knew about what was happening would beat him to it.
Mm.
And blame him.
Yeah, that's...
Because if you think about it, you know, like, yeah, again, they're just trying to rob a bank. This is too much dramatics. You know, it's there's way too much flair. Like if you're looking at it from a objectively, you know, it's too much. It's too extra.
Like, cause like if you think about it, if you would rob a bank, you're not gonna do like a whole bunch of stuff, right? You're just gonna rob it and then disappear. That's like the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, be stealthy.
Exactly. I would literally just walk into the bank with a sock over my head, and like have like a bag. Right? Mm. And then I would face away from the counter and I would say, give me all your money! And then like the bank teller would be like, sir, you're facing the wrong way. And then I'd be like, oh, sorry. And then I would turn around and then I would say, give me all your money! You know, like, I would be like uh-huh. that. I was just thinking of that SpongeBob episode. I'm glad you got the reference. Okay. Jim believes that Bill Rothstein wanted to have a legacy. He wanted to prove that he was much more brilliant than what he appeared to be. And I'm quoting Jim Fisher, okay? He says this. This son of a beep ended up winning, end quote. Now, I'm going to throw the question to you. Now, do you remember what happened to Bill Rothstein a few episodes ago.
Nope. Refresh me.
Okay. So Bill Rothstein died because of a heart attack. Or was it cancer? Basta he died. So why do you think Fisher said this?
So he'd be remembered as like this other thing instead of...
Okay, yeah. But really, okay, I'm going to quote what Fisher said, okay?
Okay.
He died with all of the secrets. He died taking all the answers with him.
Mm-mm.
He gets the last laugh in that sense. He escaped punishment. He escaped detection. He left us with these idiots and a bunch of questions.
Because like everyone else has... technically no idea of like the whole entire plan. Is that it?
Yeah. Ooh, exactly.
Okay. All right. I see.
That's why I chose this story. Even though the case is officially quote unquote solved, we can never be too sure. So
yeah.
This case will forever remain unsolved. Oh my god. BuzzFeed, hire me.
I was waiting for like the theme song or something. cue BuzzFeed music here.
wait, let me try that again. This case will forever remain unsolved.
This is the Frightening Art of Real Life.
Slow clap.
Oh, right. So that's my story.
It's very interesting because like he does have a point. The FBI agent does have a point that like this guy has passed away and then like we never really fully know if he was lying or whatever because he's gone, right?
Yeah, he died.
So there's no further investigation towards, you know, the incident. So it's.
Do you think he found out he was sick and so he decided to do all these things?
Probably. I mean, like, it's one of those, na, like, oh, I'm dying. This is like, I have like a couple days or whatever left. I'm gonna like do a last hurrah or some shit, right? So.
Yeah. Because for me, it was kind of sus that they found a dead body in his freezer and they were like, oh, hey,
it's
my
casual.
Girlfriend just wanted to hide this body in here, and then I obeyed her, you know?
And then, like, usually you'd freak out, right? And then, like
I can't believe nobody thought that he was sus, you know?
And then, like, it's a little too late now, since he's
gone.
Yeah,
it's a little too late. Technically, they were sus of him. But they kind of, like, brushed him off really quickly.
Mm.
Because... Deal Armstrong came out and then she was acting like really, really suspicious. And so they were like, okay, we found the suspect, you know? And so that allowed Bill Rothstein to like go under the radar. And then in those 4 years after the incident, he died.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for my story.
Thank you for that.
Okay, Nins, what is your story?
So, my story starts way, way back in the 1918. In 1918, an Italian grocer named Joseph and his wife, Catherine, were sleeping in their grocery store. They own a grocery store called Magos. Magos is like their last name. You know, it's one of those parang family-owned, like the store is first floor, then I believe their house is on the second floor. They're sleeping, and then suddenly a killer cuts their throats with a straight razor blade before bashing their heads.
Why does
that
sound like you're smiling while you're saying that?
Wow, okay. Immediately, wow, okay.
you're like, and immediately a murderer like cuts their throats.
Do I sound like that? God. Anyways, so, the story I'm going to be talking about is called The Axeman Murderer of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Axe Murderer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know this story. But continue.
He's known as the Axeman. Oh, you know the story. There's no reason for me to tell the story. Next. Just kidding. So, anyway, when law enforcement investigated what happened, they found bloody clothes of the murderer, instigating that the murderer changed clothes before they left. So they ruled out robbery since there's still valuables left in plain sight where the couples were. Near the couple's home, a message was left written in a chalk. Reading, Mr. Joseph will slit up tonight. Just write Mr. Mrs. Tony. So investigators immediately questioned several people, but all were released for the lack of evidence. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to a little more than a month later, June 27, 1980 still, another grocer named Louise Besmour and his mistress, Harriet Lowe. So the mistress, Harriet, Louise and Harriet were discovered laying down in a pool of blood. Louise has been struck with the axe while Harriet was hacked over her left ear. So people were questioned once again, and they did arrest some guys. However, this guy, they released him because both actually survived. Louise and Harriet actually survived the attack, I'm going to say. But Harriet actually survived with her face partially paralyzed. They did, surgeries to correct it. But 2 days later passed before telling the authorities that she believed that Louise was the one who attacked her. So they released the other guy who they arrested. And then they arrested Louise. So they arrested him and charged him with murder and served 9 months in prison before they had a jury, which just took 10 minutes of deliberation. Simple, right? He's the murderer. There was a survivor. Survivor pointed out the dude. Dude got arrested. It's one of those things. Now, why are we still talking about it? Because there were other theories. Because when this whole thing happened, they're not the only group of people who basically got attacked. There were other groups of people or families who got attacked by the Axeman. And then police at some point actually thought it was the mafia. And then the mafia was like, nah, bro, not us. We don't attack women.
We don't claim that.
Whoever this guy is, he's not one of us, basically. So they still were looking into who he was. But they already arrested Louise. So they're no, this is done. There's no need for us to look further into it, diba? So they did receive parang letter in a newspaper in March 14, 1919. This is a year later, the whole incident, where in the newspaper, basically the guy, the Axeman, promised for another attack. So kasi they were still being terrorized. The letter is fairly long, so I'm not gonna read it. But I will post website. Because the website I'm looking at with the letter is called legendsofamerica.com. So this is where...
So this is allegedly the Axeman, am I right?
Mm-mm. So the thing is, with regards to the letter, they can't really confirm. Because with letters, you can't really confirm who really it is.
So it's allegedly the Axeman. Yeah, they think it's him.
Yeah, because it's signed off as the Axeman. Because he was one of the letters was I really love the jazz music. And then he's basically saying that I will walk around the streets at this day. And if there's a house that's not playing jazz music, I will go into that house or whatever. For that time, they start homes across the cities and then even dance hall filled capacities and then they had the music playing throughout the town for several weeks. The people in the neighborhood lived in fear. August of 1919, another grocer. It's the pattern with it is mostly grocers ang gi-attack niya. The family of grocers or husbands and wife or husbands and mistress or whatever. So the general family. Another, in the August one, it's another guy named Steve. He was attacked in his bedroom while he slept.
I love how all of these names and then it's just Steve.
I'm not reading the last name. So Steve Boca. Boca.
Oh, okay. So at least his name is interesting. It's not just Steve.
So this guy named Steve, Steve? Yeah, Steve. Yeah. So, Steve actually survived after, like, getting, like, the blow from the axe. He regained consciousness, and then he ran to his neighbor named Frank. And that's when he, you know, collapsed. He was street dead, and then, like, he was questioned, of course. And then he was, like, Steve was, like, I'm sorry, I don't know, because it was dark, and then it was, like, a sudden attack. And then, like, there is nothing, really. So, In September, this one is a druggist. I think it's, like, medical doctor or whatever back then the term. Pharmacist, I guess? That's what I'm guessing, huh? Because it says druggist. I'm pretty sure this is not some guy who takes the you know. Anyway, William. William Carson. He escaped the accident after he tried to shoot the killer when the killer was trying to break into his house. So the killer did leave the door broken and he left his axe behind. So the next day after, a young girl named Sarah was attacked with an axe while she slept in her house that was locked. Neighbors usually would, like, check on her. Because, like, again, she's a young girl, so they're concerned about her. So the fact that she lives alone, they would, like, drop by every now and again to see how she's doing. So neighbors were the one to find her lying unconscious in bed with several of her teeth missing and severe head injury. Again, so basically, like, there's still no one who they can, like, pinpoint who the axe murderer is. The ending of this site says that the authorities did try to continue on the case, and he was never basically seen or heard from, like, afterwards. Like, after October, he was never seen or heard from again. No one really knows what happened to him. So, like, the last killing he did was on October 27th, 1919, where I believe he attacked a woman with, like, six children, but she wasn't able to, like, describe the characteristics of the killer. No clues were left behind. So, yeah. This is the Axeman of New Orleans. That's my story.
Thank you, Ninia Fernandez. Please take your seat. We will have a quiz.
Presentation. Oh my god.
I just imagine you, like, moving, clicking the button, and then, like,
PowerPoint slides.
Yeah, PowerPoint slides. Here is the axe murderer, and then this is the first kill niya. And then so they never found out what happened to him, because he just suddenly like disappeared.
Mm-mm.
Are we sure that it was a guy? Are we sure that it was a man?
Yeah, that's one of the things. So, like, no one can really describe the person. So, you know.
What if it was a woman? You know?
Exactly. But, like, it's mostly men ang gina question nila na nagperpetrate.
Why it gotta be men?
Probably siguro height. Who knows? Kasi, like, there's no, like, exact description like people are giving. Kasi, like, oh, it's dead of night. We can't really see properly on who this person is.
I want to answer this question on record.
Yes.
OMG, there should be a farts end of season quiz. What do you think of that?
Gods, for sure we would both fail.
What do you mean we would both fail? Excuse you. I would like to think that I actually listen to the stories and I actually try to remember what happened, unlike somebody.
Excuse me. I just need a little refresher every now and again. Kasi I'm old.
So I'm challenging you. Like you. So at the end of the season, do you want to do that? Or maybe for the farts live when you do come here.
Oh, that's interesting. That would be fun. And then, like, we have other people, like, do, like, write the quiz for us. And then we'd go up against each other. And then plus someone that's not mag-take ng quiz with us. And you guys can see if, like, this other person will win.
Yeah, it's going to be like a showdown. It's going to be a showdown. So, Nins.
Yes.
What have we learned in today's episode?
Even if you lock your doors, you're not really fully safe.
Yeah, valid. Valid. You can never be too sure. For me, looks
can be deceiving.
You know, like, yeah, not looks can be deceiving, but, like, sometimes there's more to the story. You're only getting half the story.
Yeah. So basically, this entire episode is just your portfolio to submit to ano.
Yeah.
Unsolved mysteries that you can
to like, different shows. This. Yeah, BuzzFeed. To
BuzzFeed hire Andrew.
Wow presents. What else? Anyway.
Anyway.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Frightening, Alarming, Real Life Tales show. You can follow Ninya on all her socials at Nin C. Fernandez, and I'm at The Andrew Tops on everything. And the show's Facebook and Twitter is at FartsPod. Now, we've got a group on Facebook that you can join. We post everything we talk about on the show there. If we say we're going to post it, we're going to post it there. And any scary stuff we may come across. We've also got a Discord server, and we're actually recording the episode right here in the Discord server. So if you want to catch those times live, go join the Discord server. All the links will be in the show notes. And if you've got a scary story you'd like to share, then there is a link down in the show notes as well that you can fill out, and we will read that on The Farts Live. So hold on to your horses. It is coming.
Side news, I have internet and I am going to school. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Okay, bye. End recording. What was that random? Why was that so random? Keep my recording. She's saying you guys can't hear it. You guys on the podcast can't hear it, but I'm saying she's trying to say that she ended her recording. I'm saying that she's derailing the show on purpose. She's a menace. She's a menace. Anyway, she's saying thank you. Okay, good night, everybody. She says good night. Bye. The Frightening, Alarming, Real Life Tales show comes out with new episodes every Friday at 3 a.m. It is hosted by me, Andrew Tapino, and Ninya Flor Fernandez. Our intro song is an original by Key Studios and edited by Wesley of Review. Cover art and logo by Tirso Tan Jr. I'm the executive producer. This show is produced by SB3 Studios and is a proud member of Pilipinas Indie Podcast Entertainment Network. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.